Coarse language.
Eastside would like to warn. This is a language warning. This is a warning. The following program contains some colourful language.
This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
How are you, Jeff? Good?
I'm good, Che. I'm very excited because why is that?
Because we're interviewing someone at the environment thing, but we don't have a person with us. It's only Jeff and me because Elliot got COVID.
That's right. It's we didn't want to get you excited. That was actually a phantom interview call. We did have a guest potentially lined up, but guess what? This is very exciting. Yeah. We're going to tell you a little bit of, you know, behind the scenes stuff today. We're here recording a radio show, an episode of what?
Shay and Jeff's show. It's called Breaking Air Waves.
It's Shay and Jeff, and we're doing a show called Breaking Waves.
Waves, yes.
How many years have we done Breaking Waves for?
2 years.
And you were going to call it Breaking Wind, weren't you?
Yeah,
or Breaking Air.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Faking Slaves.
Yeah. To ask you, Jeff, have you done any poet performance this week?
No, but I worked on a TV show. Mm. I did some filming.
Okay.
I played myself, Tug Dumley, as a poet in a new show that's being made. I don't think it's under wraps, so I can probably say it's a show called Plum, and it's about a footballer in the Sutherland Shire who used to be a big star for the Sharks, and he's retired, and he's got.
Are you saying that the Sharks mean the Prime Minister of ScoMo?
No, don't get sidetracked. Let me finish my story. You asked me what I'd been doing. Do not start talking about ScoMo. Do you want to hear the rest of my fascinating story?
Yeah.
Before I got interrupted by ScoMo?
Yeah.
I was making a TV show. When I say making, I had a little tiny bit part as a poet in this show called Plum, which is going to be on ABC TV, I guess, this year. And it centers on he's a football player who's suffered head injuries, and this is quite a big thing in the news at the moment. Actually, they're talking about concussions and head injuries in sport, not just for professional players but also for kids. And they're talking about the fact that maybe if you get a concussion, like a bad knock to the head, and it can be dangerous. But even if you recover, or when you recover, even if you feel better, they're proposing to bring out legislation to say you have to sit out for at least 3 weeks until you're well and truly better before you go and play again. Because there are like a bunch of sports people, probably mostly sportsmen, who after they retire, years later, they start getting these, their brain injuries from all the hits and the concussions that they got when they played football or when they were boxers, because boxers, of course.
I figure maybe soccer players get concussion with soccer balls.
Well, I imagine they could because they're heading the ball, aren't they?
Did you ever see Gridiron American Football? Do you get concussion with helmets and they bash in their head?
Yeah, I guess that's why they wear helmets.
I think they're a bit like similar to rugby union.
Because it's maybe.
Rugby union, they tackle, and my Uncle Jerry's used to play rugby.
Yeah.
At Scots College, yeah.
I can't think of...
I bought a lottery ticket for $200
million. Yeah, you and the other 20 million people out there.
No one
And wins. Did you get a phone call?
No.
Because they ring you up if you win $200 million.
Really?
Apparently. Wouldn't that be a top job to have?
Oh.
If you're the person who rings up someone and says... Is this Mrs. Pearl Jackson from Harbour Mansions? Yes.
I would
have to confirm it was them, wouldn't you? You'd say, what's your age and your date of birth, Pearl? She'd say, I'm 107.
Yes.
I was born in 1762 on the 12th of January.
Yeah.
And they say, well, Mrs. Pearl Jackson, we've got some very good news for you. Oh, yes. You've just won $200 million. I've never heard a Taylor Swift song in my life.
Really? Oh, can I play one for
you? Yeah, play one. Play a really unknown Taylor Swift song. You know, don't play one that everyone's heard a thousand times. I mean, I've never heard a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah. All the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name. You think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, 'cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own, 'cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. When you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong, and tried to make me forget where I came from. And I didn't want to write a song, 'cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own, 'cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. For all the times that you made me feel small, I fell in love, now I feel nothing at all. I never felt so low when I was vulnerable. Was I a fool to let you break down my walls? 'Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. 'Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
Okay, that was interesting, Shay. You were going to play a Taylor Swift song, and then you found a Justin Bieber song with a really long kind of montage of silent sort of police Dark Knight action stuff. But today, Shay and I on Breaking Waves are in the cockpit all by ourselves, making mischief, making radio, making and breaking waves. Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've said her name.
Yeah.
You've said ScoMo. You've said Justin Bieber. The only one you haven't mentioned, who haven't you mentioned, Shay?
Leon, my dad.
No, who? President Trump.
President Trump. Oh, I forgot.
Here he goes.
Oh,
just need a cue.
Make America great again.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Sleepy Joe Biden. Like,
Crooked. Crooked Joe Biden. Is that him?
Joe Biden. The
Crooked
one,
Joe Biden.
He goes to sleep and he has dementia and he can't remember
things.
Yeah,
I know. And
he walks in the stage and says, I don't remember. I'm going
yeah,
to,
but that's...
I don't know where
okay.
to go.
Okay, here we go. Okay, look. I mean, Sleepy Joe.
Yes.
It probably is. He's getting old. Yeah. But, we all make little stumbles and trips and mistakes, and I guess the anti-Biden stuff tends to focus on film clips of Joe stumbling or walking off to the toilet when he should be heading to stage, or, you know, being forgetful, having senior moments. None of it looks good. I understand. Crooked Joe Biden. He can't find his way out of the paper bag. He doesn't say that, does he? But
President Trump says, I am not famous. I am Jesus Christ, the Lord of Jesus.
Does he really?
He's more famous than Jesus Christ because he's kept saying on the word on YouTube or Instagram. He says about himself saying that the government of the people to help with COVID-19. And he says, if you believe in yourself, think of God, think of the person to help you from sickness. And
do you know the most unchristian person on the planet?
Yeah,
the most un-Jesus like, the most unholy, the most
is it President Trump?
Helpful,
who?
Loving,
who?
Unkind,
who?
Ungiving,
who?
Person on the planet,
who?
Is probably Donald Trump. Oh, do you know who's come into the studio just now?
Who?
Hey guys, how are you?
Oh my God, it's Tug Dumley.
Hey, sorry I'm late. Hey, do you want a poem, Shay?
Poem.
You want a poem?
Poem.
Tug, we'd love a poem.
Oh, come on. You really want one? Be louder.
Can we do poetry now?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got for us, Tug? Well, you know how our language is absolutely riddled with sport metaphors? So many expressions that we use, that people use, are grounded, so to speak, in sport. And they're so ubiquitous and they're so ingrained that I think a lot of the time we don't even know we're using them. But so much, did you know this, Shay? So much of what we use is sport-laden. So I guess I took that to a little bit of an extreme and I wrote this little piece called Sport Talk. And I tried to cram as many kind of sports metaphors that we use every day in life into the one little piece. You ready? Sport talk. Okay, let's kick off. I was in a sports metaphor store being served by a team member. Her badge said Nikki, but she pronounced it Nike. She was a good team player. Could make team leader. I said, if you step up to the plate, bag the right horse, and don't move the posts, you might kick some goals. She looked at my ballpark figure and said, next. I said, don't sidestep the question. I'm not trying to offside you, but you're a seasoned player with a few runs on the board. If you stay on par and line up your ducks, you might get off the bench and win a Guernsey. She said, next. I said, playing hardball, eh? Well, that's just not cricket in my playbook, but a whole new ball game. So I took the crease and tried to make fourth base, but she tackled that, then bowled me, stumped me, hit me for six and kicked me into touch. I cried, foul! You're mixing your codes. She said, buzz off or I'll call security. So it was game on. All bets off. There was a big field jockeying for position behind me, and I had to lift my game and hit a home run. I called extra time for one last throw of the dice and gave her a sob story about how my last match ended in a score of love bugger all. It was a ball by ball call of how I threw my hat in the ring but got blindsided, tried punching above my weight, but got sold a dummy. The hospital pass, a gloves off, no hole barred, loaded dice, slam dunk, political football that couldn't be played with a straight bat. Yeah. My life coach threw me a curveball and said, get a new game plan, by which I mean girlfriend, you twat. Well, Nike let that through to the keeper. And by keeper, I mean a half-ton Tongan security guard who combined defence, attack and manslaughter in one unhappy brick. I was about to get a drubbing, so I called Stumps on play. But then Nike softened. She said, you big sook. You can't just take your ball and go home. You know the score. If you want to make the cut, you got to toe the line, play the field, play the man, play the ball, play the game, and play your own ball and play it where it lays. Well, Shay, I needed time out, but she wasn't done. She said, you got to hit it, kick it, knock it out of the park. I mean, fuck, you got to come out swinging, be at the top of your game, keep your eye on the main game, keep the ball in play, play to your strengths, pace yourself, set the pace, outpace the field, stop batting for yourself, and be in there, boots and all. I said, sure, but can you stop now, please? But Nike was just warming up. She said, mate, we're not in the same ballpark. I'm trying to keep the ball in your court, but you won't do the hard yards and stick to the game plan like a good team player. You always want time out for a spell on the bench when I'm trying to raise the bar and tee up a hole in one. I mean, here's me giving 110%, jumping hurdles to make every post a winner, and you won't run with the ball. You're always dropping the pass when I'm trying to kick a goal. I mean, I'm not playing hardball or calling timeout for a line ball, but it's not a level playing field. If I'm first past the post, you have me sidelined in the sin bin for foul play. I mean to say, everyone gets stumped on a sticky wicket occasionally, but you can't just throw in the towel when the chips are down. If you win by a nose, an inch is as good as a mile in this game. You know what I mean? I said, uh-huh. So you want to go out? She said, not if you were the last ball of the day. I took that as an encouragement award. All in all, she was a pretty good sport. Sorta.
Jeff, the poetry was about sport.
Yes.
And it's about Don Bradman met Babe Ruth, this baseball player, and he was one of the best baseball players for Yankees.
Oh, by the way. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Tug.
And the Red Sox.
Sorry, Tug just had to go. But that was a good... Did you like that poem?
It was about the sport, about the New York Yankees and the Red Sox when the Babe Ruth... And they were so upset because Babe Ruth left the Red Sox and be with the Yankees.
Mostly. But hang on, you said something very interesting back there.
Yeah.
And even if it's not true, it's even more interesting.
Yeah.
Did you say that Don Bradman met Babe Ruth?
Yes, in the 1930s.
Really?
Yes, before Babe Ruth died.
So when did Babe Ruth live? What was his era?
His live age, he was about 50. He died, and Don Bradman died at 80 or 90.
So Don Bradman was probably alive into the 80s or 90s, wasn't he?
He was alive in 2000. He was still
alive. Was he really?
Yes. And he lived longer than Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth died too young because he drank alcohol and he did too many cigarettes and having tobacco, and because baseball players were having tobacco.
Yeah, yeah.
And not, most of the famous baseball players... They died young, 50.
It's really tragic and interesting, Shay.
Yeah.
But I think people had a different attitude towards sport back then.
Yes.
In the
1930s.
It perhaps wasn't as professional,
yeah,
although it produced geniuses,
yes,
great players like Babe Ruth.
Yes.
And
Don Bradman,
I was looking at a photo.
Yeah.
Of, it might have been Babe Ruth. Who's another like famous American baseball player? Was it Mickey Mantle? Was he one? What are their names?
Barry Bonds. He made about 700 home runs. All right. Alive,
there's a few really big ones that even we know. I can't think of them.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
The 42, he's LA Dodgers.
Anyway, like I saw a photo of a baseball player.
Yeah.
And he was really quite fat.
Yeah.
But he was like a genius. Whoever it was.
Yeah.
Was Babe Ruth a batter? I guess he was a batter.
Yeah,
right?
He was
batter. He was a home run hitter. Yes, he wasn't a famous pitcher.
He was batter like, he was similar to Don Bradman.
Was he black?
No, he was white.
He was white.
Yeah.
Did they have black players in professional baseball back in the 1930s in America? Or was it too segregated?
Maybe later in the 40s in the World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know the circumstances or of how Don Bradman met Babe Ruth?
They met from a stadium when they were walking and shook hands.
What, in Australia or in America?
I think it might be America.
So Don Bradman went to the United States.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never heard that. That's interesting. Like a great cricketer meets a great baseball player.
Yeah. Because Australia's always loved a lot about cricket. Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
But
it's interesting what you say about cigarettes and alcohol and sportsmen, sportswomen.
Yes.
Because these days you do hear about misbehaving footballers, usually, don't you? They get drunk in nightclubs and there are incidents. Things happen.
And they get arrested by police.
And I guess they, I don't know how they excuse it. They excuse it by fact that they're, I don't know, they're celebrities.
Yeah.
They're built like brick shit houses. They feel like they should be or are actually adored by many, many people for their magnificent physiques. And they probably, particularly if you win a game or a final, you probably feel like you're king of the world. Yeah. And, you know, no one can touch you and you can take what you want, which might include sometimes, you know, sex, consensual or not. But I think... I got memories of it's a long time ago now, but in the 70s, you had players like, I think it was Tommy Radonegas, who played for Wests, who played for the West Magpies. And he'd, he was the kind of guy he
Was it called West Tigers?
It was the Magpies.
West Magpies.
It was just the Magpies.
There was a YouTube channel. But, there's a YouTube channel when I looked on Instagram.
Yeah.
There's a Lebanese man. Makes magpie noises and he says, "I am the Birdman man. The Birdman man." And the Lebanese man pretends that he's sings the song of make voices of the magpie and he goes, "I'm the Birdman man. Magpie. I'm the magpie man."
It's quite good. But put a post-it note on that. I'll just finish my riveting train of thought, which was that I think Tommy Radonegas used to smoke. And he'd probably come off at halftime after a game against the Roosters and have a couple of fags.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a couple of beers before the game. So there was a different mindset. So I'm not surprised that poor old Babe Ruth...
Yeah.
And this is probably before the dangers of cigarettes were fully understood to the level they are now.
Yeah.
They probably smoked their ass off.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to drink.
It was funny.
And I guess, do you reckon in baseball it's not as important to be fit as, say, like more of a running game like football or soccer?
I think baseball...
So you can be like a big fat guy and just sort of stand there and just slug the ball?
I think baseball is a bit...
You've still got a run past.
I think baseball is a bit similar to golf. I think maybe... The swing, the average, maybe they don't run much as maybe like basketball players run all the time than baseball because baseball, they just stand there in this field. They don't do more proper running. They just do throwing.
But and sometimes they have to field a ball.
It's a bit similar to cricket. I think cricket, you stand there and you hit the ball. And I think cricket, you don't run around much. It's similar to baseball and cricket. But
I reckon... Maybe cricket, you've got to get a bit more exercise if you're a batter.
Better.
So if you're batting in baseball,
yes.
You've only got to, but you've got to get to four bases, right?
Bang, 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 to
get home.
Yes.
And they're relatively short bursts of running.
Yeah.
Whereas in cricket, if you're going to be out there for a while, you've got to run really fast between your wickets. And potentially, if you're doing well, if you're getting 30, 40, 50, 100, if you're getting Don Bradman-like scores, you're probably doing a lot of fast sprinting and bursts of running. So I suspect if you're a batter in cricket, you're probably working harder than a batter in baseball.
I think baseball is a very hard skill. I think the ball goes about 100 kilometers of speed, and you have to get your eye into the ball with the bat, and you have to swing the right moment of the ball. It's really hard to make home runs, and I know one of the top players, very good. It would be the LA Giants baseball team in Adelaide. Had won 43 years of drought. They won it last year, and they're winning this year again, and they won first place, and they're versing LA versus Perth Heat, and this is the first time in history that Perth Heat is going to try and beat LA Giants when they won the 43 years anniversary. It's last year they won, and now they're going to win.
They've been around for 43 years, a baseball team in Australia.
The LA Giants haven't had it. It's a drought.
Okay, no, you're talking about Australia or...
Australian Baseball League. They haven't won for 43 years drought, and they found it last year. And I told them in the stadium, I told one of the players to say, I hope you win the premiership, you win the Clayton Shield game and win this title, because they haven't won 43 years. It was last year and they finally won.
Sorry, who's this? Is this the Perth Heat? No, the Adelaide Giants.
It was the LA Giants.
You know, I've just had a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
We should have a song break. And I thought of a song we could play, which is totally relevant because, like another famous baseball player just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because we somehow got onto this baseball sporting jag.
Yeah.
And that's Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio.
Have you heard of Joe DiMaggio?
Should we play a song for the baseball?
Anyway, look, I think we've got a lovely, juicy hour of delicious fun and hijinks in there for Elliot to cut together. Is there any song that we should just suggest I think we should play Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel because it mentions the baseball player Joe DiMaggio in the song. Okay. And that's a thin pretext, but it's a good song, and it just occurred to me.
Okay,
can you find Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel? But thanks for listening. We've been breaking waves.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Shay.
You're Shay?
We're in Breaking Waves.
We're in Breaking Waves.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.